Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. This is another beautiful, brand new day you have just made for us to gather and worship. Lord Jesus, you are the Redeemer. You are the chief shepherd for each one of us in this room. We thank you for your work and your word and all you have done for each one of us. Let this worship be filled with the Holy Spirit. We invite Holy Spirit to come powerfully in our midst. We praise all the honor and glory to the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there security in this world? London just had another bomb attack, and North Korea sent another missile into the Pacific Ocean over Japan. You may say that it is very fortunate that we live in Texas, USA. However, we just had a biggest flood in Houston in 100 years, and we know that our loved ones are affected by the sudden outpouring of the massive amount of rain. And this week, we heard a shocking gun incident within 10 miles from here in the Spring Creek Parkway, Plano. I pass Spring Creek almost every day, and I like the driving on the Spring Creek Parkway because it is a good and smooth ride. The trees on the road are great, and the road conditions are excellent. I feel safe and secure as I drive the road, but this is no longer true. This Monday, I couldn't even go through the road because the road was completely blocked between Alma and Custer. I didn't know why that happened until I heard the news that there was a gun incident in one of the houses off the Spring Creek Road. Plano was regarded as one of the most secure and safe cities in the USA for a while, but it is no longer true. Even the increase of the police workforce and its quality cannot guarantee a safe environment any longer for its citizens. You know, who can provide security we are longing for? Today, we are going to learn about the absolute security that is available for every child of God. Does God assure absolute security to his children? Put it another way, if you are a believer, is there any chance for you to lose your salvation? Is your salvation secure? What is this absolute security Jesus had in mind? We are going to answer all these questions today. Would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We are going to read verses 22 to 30. Gospel of John 10, 22 to 30. Here is the word of God. At the time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews, therefore, gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Uh, This episode took place around the Feast of the Dedication. Feast of Dedication is, today is a Jewish holiday known as Hanukkah. And Hanukkah was the latest Jewish festivals to be founded, and only having been observed since 165 before Christ, when the temple was rededicated. As Jesus walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon, which was basically a court in the temple where people gathered. It's a part of the outer court of the temple, outside of the temple. And then Jesus gathered around Jesus, and the Jews gathered around Jesus and argued with Jesus again. And look at verse 24. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." It is one of the greatest ironies that the Jews in Jerusalem did not get the conviction that Jesus was their Messiah. The Samaritan woman confessed that Jesus is the Messiah when Jesus was traversing through the Samaria. And even in Jerusalem, the born blind man confessed also that Jesus is the Son of God. But the majority of Jews did not have this conviction. Why? We'll find later. The Jews wanted Jesus to say that he is the Messiah so that they would arrest him as a blasphemer. Look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me." So Jesus' answer was that his works must be the proof of his messianic identity. But Jesus also noted that they did not believe in him, even though Jesus shows the works of the Father through him. Why didn't they believe Jesus as their Messiah in spite of so many signs, wonders, and miracles Jesus performed over the course of years? Look at 25, verse 26. This is Jesus' answer. This is a key verse. "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." You do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Notice that what Jesus said, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Jesus did not say, "Because you do not believe, you are not of my sheep." This implies that the reason for their lack of faith or disbelief is because they don't belong to Jesus. They are not simply Jesus' sheep. Many commentators note that this verse talks about predestination. Predestination is a doctrine of the Bible that says God is the cause of all things, including our faith or the lack of faith, even disbelief. It is a mystery how the sovereign will of God and the freedom of man work together. On the one hand, God's love is universal. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So John 3:16 emphasizes our faith. On the other hand, God's choice is the effective cause of faith. The phrase "my sheep" that Jesus refers to is another word for God's elect. There is a tension between man's free will and God's election. Is faith man's free will or God's election? Do we believe because God elected us to believe, or the other way around. So this is something that we need to grapple today. If you turn with me to Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, we just read. According to these verses, we cannot deny that the freedom of choice, God's choice for his children, which is known as predestination. It says, God chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Even before we came to be, God had determined whom to be saved in Jesus Christ. It is God's choice through Jesus Christ that we have become a child of God. And we are adopted into God's family even before the foundation of the world. When the world was still dark, nothing was created, nothing was enlightened, nothing came to be, God's counsel, God has a council meeting, so to speak, and he made a decision who he will save through his son Jesus Christ. The way God chose us and adopted us into God's family is through Jesus Christ. And this decision was done even before you and I were made. So this decision of God to adopt people into his family does not depend on us because we weren't there. But only depends on God's will and Jesus Christ. That is what this phrase, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, means. The choice is strictly depend on God's grace, God's freedom of his will. You know, what does that mean practically and personally? Let's think about this. This means God's freedom of choice, his grace, is exercised to choose you in Jesus Christ so that you would be saved. Exodus 33:19, this is what the Lord told the Moses. God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. You know, you think you are saved because you believed in Jesus Christ, died for your sins, correct? But this is not actually completely true. Actually, you are saved because God has caused you to believe in Jesus who died for your sins. When we talk about our faith, it's not just, you know, we just believe, you know, I believe this is a day. It's not, you know, that faith is not like, you know, something that triggered in our mind and then we decide. Even the exercise of our faith is within the realm of God's free will, his grace. So grace begets faith, not the other way around. Grace causes faith. Grace begets faith. Faith cannot cause God's grace. God's grace is there even before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice implies that my sheep believe my word because they are my sheep. You know, this is different from saying that they are my sheep because they believe my word. You know, we need to think about this cause-effect relationship here. What is the cause of being the sheep of Jesus? Is it our faith in him that affects our being his sheep, or is it God's choice that affects our faith in him? You know, what Jesus seems to say is the latter. Verse 26, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. The unbelief of the Jews is the effect that is caused by the fact that they are not Jesus' sheep. The other way around is to say that because you do not believe, you are not of my sheep. But this is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying the opposite. Jesus is basically saying that you believe because you are of my sheep. The root cause of our faith, our belief, or unbelief is determined by God's grace of election. Faith comes as a result of God's grace. Faith in and of itself does not determine our relationship with God. God's sovereign election of the elect is the cause of our faith. You know, we are saved by God's grace through faith. Faith is just a means to be saved. It's not the root cause. We are saved by God's grace. You know, we are not saved by faith in and of itself apart from God's grace. That's the point. Because God's grace, God's predestination was there before. That's why you know, we belong to Jesus, and then we believe when we we are exposed to the gospel of Jesus. You know, what is the evidence that we are his sheep? The most obvious evidence that we are his sheep is the sheep of Jesus listen to the voice of Jesus. That means identity determines obedience. Obedience does not cause identity. Just because you do, that doesn't determine who you are. But because of who you are in Jesus Christ, even before the foundation of the world, you obey, you listen, and you exercise your faith. You hear the voice of Jesus because you are Jesus' sheep. Basically, that's what Jesus is saying here. You would not hear the voice of Jesus because you are not Jesus' sheep. That's what happened to the vast majority of Jewish people in Jerusalem. They didn't listen because they are not Jesus' sheep. In the Gospel of John, the Jews hear Jesus preaching over and over again. Each time they hear, they reject his message. To them, Jesus said, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. Let's look at verse 28. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You know, this is perhaps the most powerful statement with respect to security. To his sheep, Jesus guarantees eternal life to them. This means his sheep would never lose their life. This means the believers would never lose their salvation. This is called the doctrine of eternal security, also known as the perseverance of the saint. One of the Jubilee Church's core beliefs is eternal security. I don't know whether you have chance to check out our website. If you go to our website, about us or what's new, I think that one of the you know, the pointers has our core beliefs, 10 core beliefs of Jubilee Church, and one of them is called eternal security. It says, because God gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ, the true believer is secure in their salvation for eternity. Those who have been genuinely saved through faith in Him cannot lose salvation. Salvation is maintained by the grace and power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. It is the grace and the keeping power of God that give believers this security. They will never perish, Jesus says. Perhaps this is the, you know, perish is the language of being separated from God's presence. And when you are separated from God, you will end up in the place where there is no hope of the Redeemer, and where there is always loneliness, gnashing of your teeth in the dark. That is actually a description of hell. But Jesus said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is the most assuring statement of Jesus' protection for his sheep. You know, once you are in Jesus, you will never out of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door, but Jesus never said, I am the exit. There is no exit once you come into the Jesus fold. You are eternally secure once you enter. And Jesus assures that you are safe and eternally safe in Him. He is the chief shepherd who would never let go His hands. Let's look at verses 29 and verse 30. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and Father are one. You know, this verse is from the Father's angle. The Father of Jesus has given the sheep to the Son. And the Father is greater than all. He is the supreme being, God Almighty. And no one is able to snatch the sheep of Jesus out of the Father's hand. Whose hand is most powerful? So both the Son and the Father protect the sheep that belong to Jesus Christ. And those sheep are handed over from Father to the Son. And verse 30, I and Father are one. You know, Father's will is the Son's will, and Father's nature is the same as the Son's nature, and Father's mind is the same as the Son's mind, and Father's protection is the same as Son's protection. You know, if you are protected by the Father, Son will also protect you, and this is the basis of the Trinity. Trinity is, of course, the relationship among the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also, Trinity is the basis of our absolute security. Jesus is God. What is Trinity? Jesus is God, the Father is God, and God is one. God has only one will. That one will for His sheep is to protect eternally. So when it is applied to security, both the Father and Son give you security that no one and nothing can snatch you out of their hands. You know, two impenetrable, invincible, and all-powerful persons of God, the Father and Son, are your security guards, so to speak. You know, this is how secure your salvation is if you are a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, and who gave to us the Spirit as the pledge. The Holy Spirit indwelling in the believer is the pledge of God for our salvation, our eternal security. And look at Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit. So we have the hands of the Father and the Son and the seal of the Holy Spirit as for our salvation. And this is absolute security. The Holy Triune God protects His elect. So let's try to summarize. There are three reasons why your salvation is absolutely secure. First reason, your salvation is based on God's sovereign grace. Your salvation is based on God's sovereign grace. God's grace to you is always the driving force for your salvation. And God's grace is the cause of your faith. And your faith in Jesus is caused by God's grace even before the foundation of the world. And second reason why your salvation is absolutely secure is because your salvation is determined by the Father's will through the Son even before you came to be. Basically, your salvation is not determined by you nor dependent upon you. What you do, what you are, you know, what you think you are, how good or how bad you are, does not determine your salvation, because God's decision, God's predestination was done even before you came to be. If you are the chosen, if you are the elect, if you are Jesus' sheep, this decision was made even before you came to be. So it doesn't depend on you and on me. You know, sometimes if we do bad things, you know, we feel like we are losing our salvation. And when you do good, you know, you feel like, you know, you are like, you know, God. But any of that doesn't affect your salvation if you are Jesus' sheep. Because this decision was made even before you and I came to be. And last reason why your salvation is absolutely secure, because your salvation is absolutely secure by the Father and the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Your salvation is absolutely secure by the Father and the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. I think Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about this triple protection of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit cannot be broken. And the doctrine of predestination is not about why God chooses only some to be His children. He did not really have to choose any one of us as His elect, but He did choose some out of His sure grace. You know, God is still just, even if He did not have to choose anyone as His sheep, because everyone sinned and falls short of the glory of God. But God is not only just, but also gracious, so that He chose His elect and secured them absolutely for their salvation. You know, if you are a believer, you cannot boast your salvation, because it is completely done by God's sovereign grace through His Son Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, all we can do is to accept this gift of salvation with gratitude and humility. If faith is anything, I believe it is an attitude of gratitude for God's grace. And it is also an attitude of humility for accepting what God has given us. That's faith, if faith is anything. It's just a humble and humble attitude and also attitude of gratitude for what God has done. You know, we are the sheep of Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are a sheep of Jesus Christ? Yes? You know why you believe? Because God has chosen you to believe. It's not because, you know, I want to believe, you know, from my will. Of course, you have your own will, but before your will, that was God's will, you know, overarching before your will, so that He caused the faith in you, so that when you hear the gospel of Jesus, you simply responded. And you are a believer. And no one will be able to snatch you out of the hand of Jesus and His Father. And you are eternally secure by the Father and the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, we have all the reason to praise God and worship Him for what God has done to us. You know, it is time to be set free from all your insecurities. You know, whatever that insecurities, in light of this absolute security we have in Jesus Christ. You know, God is for you, Jesus is for you, and Holy Spirit is for you. Let us pray. Father, in light of this absolute security available to the believer, we cast out all our insecurities, all our fear, you know, all our anger, all our lack of peace today, so that we truly embrace and live this absolute security that we have. Father, we thank you for your work. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your work. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your being our pledge, our guarantor for the redemption. May your Spirit continue to touch us and give us reason to live in full freedom, in full security, no matter what happens in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God. The name it is, the name it is, the What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. Fell toward name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Oh, Father God, thank you for this great news that, you know, we have this absolute security in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have given us this assurance of our salvation in Jesus. Once we are in Jesus, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. We praise you and we honor you. And from now on, Father, let the peace of God come powerfully in us so that we truly live in security. Enjoy the security you have given us as the gift. Before we will be saved, when you come back, we can enjoy this security in our heart, even on earth. No matter what happens in this world, we can live in the peace of God because of your decision that was made even before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the powerful fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever.